and it's about listening.
This is one of my favorites.
And before I start the message, I'm going to tell you one of my favorite jokes.
They both have trouble, it seems like, hearing each other.
And if you've been to Wise Guys,
and they're both very sure
that the other person is the one that's half deaf or deaf. Can anyone relate? Hallelujah. I got a good congregation here. So the husband, knowing for sure that his wife is the one that's deafer than a haddock, so he puts a chair over here on the side of the room and has her set down back to him. And he goes over here at the other side of the room. He says, "Can you hear me?" Nothing. He goes a little more. "Can you hear me?" Nothing. So he gets right behind her chair and he says, "Can you hear me?" She turns around. For the third time, yes. Don't you like that? Come on. This message is not about God hearing you. It's about you hearing God. You hearing God. You might think at times that God doesn't hear you, but you know, he always hears and he always answers. Oh, that we could be that way with him. To always hear and to always answer. We need to pay attention to hearing him. Even if we don't particularly care for what he has to say to us, we need to listen. We need to obey. Title of the message this morning is The Voice of the Master. Do we have any PowerPoint? Oh, I'm not seeing it. Sorry. So we have the voice of the master. Okay. I believe the next slide has the point numbers on it. No? I've got nothing. Here you go. It goes against our nature. Number two, be sensitive to his voice. Number three, do not harden your heart. And number four, God gives us a way of escape if we listen and heed the master's voice. So hopefully I will bring all of these points out to you in this message. Thank you. Do you have a difficult time to understand when someone says, "God spoke to me and God told me"? That doesn't bother you? We had a little lady in Pacific Grove when I ran the church office, and she would come in and help me sometimes with some of the filing and whatnot. And she'd come in one day and she said, "Oh, that new young woman, Suzette, you know, she's so on fire for God. And she's always saying, 'God told me this and God told me that.' And, you know, I've served the Lord, I don't know how many years it was, probably 60-some. She says, I don't get that." And I says, "We have served the Lord so long that we take it for granted. He directs our footsteps, and we older Christians, we take it for granted. Everything that we do, we're led of the Lord, and we just know it. So, you know, we don't get excited like maybe we should and say, 'God spoke to me. God spoke,' you know, he spoke to you to do this, to do that, to not do this, to not do that." But you just, so for we who maybe have served the Lord a long time, think about that. How often that he speaks and we just don't pay attention because we just take him for granted that way. God in the person of the Holy Spirit is speaking to us all the time. He is our conscience. He is that voice in you leading you what to do or not to do, that prick that you feel our problem with not admitting that God is speaking to us is because we are human. And it's our human nature to want to do and say what we want to. We want our own way. And a lot of times, we don't want God to prick our conscience. I need to hear an amen. We've all been there. I'm not going to pray about that, because I know he's going to say something to me. He's always pricking our conscience, trying to lead us in paths of righteousness. The first step we need to take is to accept Christ as our Savior. You can't expect God to be guiding your conscience and pricking your conscience unless you know Jesus. So I trust that you've made that first step and accepted him. Open the door in your heart, in your mind, in your conscience to hear him. And then take that next step and be willing to obey. We're going to start with Revelations 3:20. Revelations 3rd chapter, verse 20. Jesus, here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come in and eat with him and he with me. He is constantly at our heart's door. And some people have said, take note, there's no doorknob for Jesus. The doorknob's on the inside. It's up to us to open the door and let him in and fellowship with him. And we have to be willing to hear his voice, to be open to that, to his direction. He says, if anyone hears my voice, will you hear him today? Hear his voice. His voice is the voice of the Master. And to some people, that might already turn them off. Who wants to have a master? Who wants to be mastered? Human nature, that doesn't feel so good. He is our master. We have to overcome our human nature and receive God's nature. And this that you see up on there goes with the story that I'm going to read you. It's about a master, Whedon Scott, and he's trying to lead his dog to do what is right, not what his dog nature wants him to do. You do know that dogs have their own idea of what they want to do, don't you? Yes. And the story, it goes like this. Jack London's wonderful classic, White Fang, tells a story of an animal, half dog and half wolf. That's why I gave you the wolf. As he survives his life in the wild and then learns to live among men. There is one story in particular that has left a lasting impression on my heart. White Fang was very fond of chickens, and on one occasion raided a chicken roost, and he killed 50 hens. Not good. His master, Whedon Scott, whom White Fang saw as man God, and he loved him with a single heart. And his master scolded him and took him into the chicken yard. When White Fang saw his favorite food walking around right in front of him, he obeyed with a natural instinct, an impulse, and he lunged for a chicken. He was immediately checked by his master's voice. No. And they stayed in the chicken yard for quite a while, and every time White Fang made a move toward a chicken, his master's voice would stop him. In this way, he learned what his master wanted. He had learned to ignore the chickens. folks, this fits us as Christians so clearly, because our Master oftentimes is saying no, no, and pulling on our leash. Whedon Scott's father argued that you couldn't cure a chicken killer, but Whedon challenged him, and they agreed to lock White Fang in with the chickens all afternoon. Can God lock us in with those things that tempt us, those things that we don't like to listen to his voice telling us no? Locked in the yard and there deserted by his master, White Fang lay down and went to sleep. Once he got up and he walked over to the trough for a drink of water. The chickens he calmly ignored. So far as he was concerned, they did not exist. At 4 o'clock, he executed a running jump, gained the roof of the chicken house, leaped to the ground outside, whence he sauntered gravely to the house. He had learned obedience to his master. Remember, because he loved his master and looked up to him out of love and a desire to obey the master's will, White Fang overcame his natural inborn desires. He might not have understood why his master led him and seemingly deserted him in that chicken coop, but he obeyed. And folks, so often we do not understand why God leaves us in the chicken coop with those temptations. But if he's already told us no, even though we're there in the chicken coop, stay away from those chickens. Amen. We're born with a human nature. It's called an Adamic nature. We want to sin. What do we earn when we sin? What are the wages of sin? Death, death, forever dying. The wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life. Hallelujah, in Christ Jesus our Lord, Romans 6:23. Every time you feel a check about doing or saying anything or something, do like White Fang did. When you get that check from the master, listen to him. And you know, the more that you obey the small voice and that nudge of the Holy Spirit from God, the stronger you grow against that particular thing. Every time you obey, you grow stronger in that. And eventually, that will not entice you anymore. Like this dog wolf, he was not enticed because his mind and heart were set on the master and to please him, to obey him. He loved him, and if you love God, we need to want to honor his direction, his wishes for us. We want to please him. Do you think in any way that the sin you keep being enticed to do, or that you just keep doing, is bigger than your ability to stop? Sometimes Christians feel that way. You tried and tried and tried. You know you have conviction about it. But there's that human nature that just seems not to be able to escape. We're going to 1 Corinthians 10:13. God makes a way of escape. There has no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. I better be careful because I quote it from the King James Bible and I'm giving it to you from the NIV. 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will provide a way out so you can stand up under it. The Holy Spirit gave me this Bible verse the day he delivered me from the habit of smoking. I began to serve the Lord with all my heart in the first week of May in 1964. And right off, I didn't want to keep smoking. I really felt conviction that Christians shouldn't be smoking. And it was in a revival that I had given my life to the Lord there. And it was going on for a few nights. And one of the nights, they asked people to come up and be prayed for things. I was not familiar with that kind of doings. I was brought up Baptist. And the little old lady that got me to go to church said, "You want to go up and be prayed for to stop smoking?" Great idea. Yeah, I want to be done with that. And so I went up in the prayer line to be prayed for. And that evangelist put oil on me and prayed for me. That made me so mad I could spit. I was walking home that night. Stupid people put oil on your body. You know, what is wrong with them? There's, you know, I don't want that oil on my body. What are they thinking of? I didn't like it. You know? So the days went by, and I'm reading my Bible, sitting with my coffee and cigarette and praying, "Oh, God, I don't want to smoke anymore. I hate it. I don't want to smoke." This went on till the first week of September. And Greg gave his life to the Lord. And the next week, we're going to be water baptized side by side. Woo-hoo! The night he gave his life to the Lord, can I say that? He was delivered of smoking. He got up from that altar, never wanted a cigarette at all. Oh, here I am, Miss Righteous, holier than thou, been saved serving God since May. I'm still smoking. It's really killing me. So the Sunday morning, we're going to be baptized that Sunday night. I said, "God, I can't be baptized and still smoke." And the Holy Spirit spoke to me, "Emma, there hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. God is able." God is able. Gave me that scripture. You can bear it. And he said, that night in May, when you were prayed for and anointed with oil, you were delivered of cigarettes, but you would never bear it. I never wanted a cigarette again. No desire. Amen. That's right, Rose. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. It is a wonderful lesson that God gave me, because there are many times that we're prayed for and God does the work and we're not willing to bear it, claim it. That's just in the extra. Praise the Lord for his deliverance. So we had point one, we had point two, this is point three. In order to hear the Master's voice, we have to be willing to listen for Jesus knocking on our heart's door. Willing to listen to our conscience, listen to that still small voice, and not harden our hearts. I have up there Hebrews 3:7. So as the Holy Spirit says today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. And 15a today. If you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. And then 4:7b. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. And this warning is given because over and over and over again, the Israelites hardened their hearts. Over and over and over again, God did for them, spoke to them, you know, was there for them, and they would harden their heart. They'd say, yes, 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 Lord, yeah, yes, we're going to serve you. You're our God. And next thing you know, they'd harden their heart against him. And he, in Hebrews, he's giving this warning for Christians. This is for us. And then we have this warning in Proverbs 29:1. I didn't put it up on the board. God spoke to me this morning. I needed to add this in. A man who remains stiff-necked and after many rebukes will suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Don't harden your hearts. When you get that conviction and your master says, don't harden your heart and keep on doing it. Be very careful. Be very careful. Every time you refuse to listen and obey, you've hardened your heart again. And he said, being often reproved, you keep doing that, you're not going to get another chance sometime along the way. He said, you'll be cut off, and that without remedy. Strong words, folks. Pay attention. God speaks to us in many ways. He uses his word, the Bible. That's what he did with me to make me realize he'd already delivered me from smoking. He uses sermons that you hear. He'll use other people speaking to you. God gave Christy a message from his word. It was for someone, maybe several people. Listen, pay attention what God is trying to say. You know, if you hear tongues and an interpretation, listen to what God is saying. He's talking to us all the time. But most often, you know, his voice speaking to us is our conscience. And we need to keep our hearts, ourselves, sensitive to what he's trying to say to us. Be sensitive to his voice. Jesus spoke about us as being his sheep. I'm taking you to John, the 10th chapter, verses 2 through 4, referring to us in that way. The man who enters by the gate is a shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him. The sheep listen to his voice. Listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he's brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. Jesus has got your name. He calls you by name. And I know from experience that you know when he calls your name. Emma, listen up. You know when he's calling your name. We follow Jesus, Master, Shepherd, because we know his voice. We know him. Calls us by name, leads us, goes on ahead of us, and we follow him because we know his voice. You know, sheep, if they don't pay attention and follow, they can get lost. They can get hurt.
That's why shepherds carry a crook. Pay attention to his voice. Are you listening? Are you willing for him to be your master? We like the idea of him being our shepherd, right? But master, are you willing for the master's voice? I pray you are, and that you be careful to hear what he has to say to you. Like White Fang, we'll eventually not even be tempted. The more that we listen and obey, the less tempted we are to those things. I'm taking you to the Bible story of Samuel. Little boy, his mother couldn't have children, Hannah, and prayed and sought God. And God, she told God, if you give me a son, I'll give him to you. And God gave her Samuel. And when he was weaned, she took him to the temple and left him there to serve in the temple with Eli the priest. Eli the priest had sons that would inherit the priesthood because that's how it was done. And those sons were evil. They were doing wrong things with sacrifices that people brought in. They were even fooling around with women that they, as they brought in sacrifices to worship in the temple. I mean, they were bad, really bad. And Eli knew it and overlooked it. One night, this little boy, Samuel, is sleeping, and he hears a voice, Samuel. Samuel. But he doesn't know the voice, really. He thinks it's Eli. So he goes to Eli. You called me? Eli said, no, oh, go back to bed. No, I didn't call you. And Samuel goes back to bed. And the voice comes again, Samuel. Samuel. He gets right up and runs to take care of Eli and wakes Eli up. Eli says, what in the world? Go back to bed. I did not call you. Then it dawns on Eli, finally. God's talking. Samuel, when God calls you, that's him speaking. Say, speak, Lord, your servant hears you. That's what God wants from us. That we know his voice, that we hear his voice, and that we're willing to say, yes, go ahead and talk to me, God. And Samuel did that, and God talked to Samuel. But folks, God didn't say, oh, you're a nice little boy. You are really learning the things of God, and you're just doing great. It's wonderful what you're doing. We like messages from God like that. Yeah. Pat me on the shoulder, Lord. I like it. God told Samuel, I'm going to do something that's going to make people's hair stand on end. It's going to be bad. Eli's going to pay. For having wicked sons. Israel's going to pay. This is paraphrased by Emma. You know that. So Samuel goes back to bed to sleep. And in the morning, Eli says, I want to know what God said. You came here this morning to church thinking you wanted to know what God said. You. Are you still sure you want to hear what he's saying to you? Yeah. Poor little Samuel. And Eli forced him to tell him, and he told him. But, you know, are we willing? Are we willing to hear that voice? Are we willing to listen to what That voice is speaking to us. And are we willing to obey what God says? You know, because Samuel would listen and went ahead and even shared it with Eli the priest the way he should, all through his life, God used him. And I would challenge you with the fact that because every time in my life, or sometimes in my life, I was obedient to God, he's used me. Samuel was used of God because he would be used of God. Is that true of you? The message you hear might not be what you like. Because lots of times God speaks and we really are not all that thrilled with what. You know, if you think that was easy for Christy to share what God gave her, it was not. When she came down to shake hands, she was still shaking. When God tells you stuff and wants to use you, you may be shaking, trembling in your boots, but do it. Do it. Listen and do it. Praise God. Hallelujah. I've got to find my place now. I got all carried away, didn't I? Yes. I'm taking you to 1 Kings, the 19th chapter. This is the story of Elijah. He was such a man of God. And he heard God speak to him over and over again. I mean, you know the story of him on Mount Carmel, you know, where he challenged over 400 of the prophets of Baal and how God sent down fire onto the offering and blah, 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 blah. Yeah, he heard from God. But as soon as that was done with, he heard that Jezebel the queen is coming to kill him because that made her mad. Now he's running scared. Now he's just discouraged and disappointed and just all bent out of shape because Jezebel said she's going to get him and kill him. And then he's running. And that's where we pick up the story. Verse 9. There he went into a cave and he spent the night. And the word of the Lord came to him. The word of the Lord, God's voice, the word of the Lord came to him. What are you doing here, Elijah? And he replied, I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant. They've broken down your altars, put your prophets to death with a sword. I'm the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me too. And the Lord said, go out and stand on a mountain in the presence of the Lord. The Lord's about to pass by. Well, he heard that. Okay, I'll step out there, Lord. You're going to pass by me? You can come by? I'll step out. Mm-hmm. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake. And the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire. The Lord was not in a fire. How many of you have ever been in an earthquake? 4 or 5 of you. Scary. It's scary. Well, you live in Montana. I know you've been in some big winds. We've had some fairly recently. It's scary. Tears things up. People can get hurt. And fire. Ooh. No control in fire, right? But the Lord was not in them. After the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face, went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. And the voice said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? How much does God have to put you through before you're going to say, okay, I hear, Lord, I hear.
He replied, I've been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites rejected your covenant, broke down your altars, put your prophets to death with the sword. I'm only one left. Now they're trying to kill me too. Then God said to him, go back the way you came. Sometimes it's like that, folks. He wants us to backtrack because we're messing up. Might be like Elijah, discouraged, feeling like, I'm not hearing from God. You know, I was doing great for God, doing all kinds of things for God. Now, everything is falling apart. And you'd be laying down saying, go ahead and kill me, God. I'm not amounting to anything. That was Elijah. God said, go back. There's something there that you missed. There's something there I still have for you to do. Praise the Lord. Elijah obeyed. He ended up having to anoint someone else to take over his ministry. And folks, that might happen to me. And it might happen to you. But be willing to hear his voice. I hope that that's coming through to you. Listen. Let him be your master. Let him be your shepherd. Turn your ear and your heart to him. Never mind your human nature. God can overcome your human nature to disobey and to refuse to listen. God's bigger than that, folks. No temptation takes you but what is common to man. He can overcome all of that. He gives you a way of escape. You can give us the last slide. I believe it's the last one. He stands at your heart's door. If you listen and hear his voice, he'll come be a part of your life. Are you listening? Would you stand? And if God has spoken to you in any particular way that you want prayer, that you would be yielded, that you listen, I'm just going to ask you to come forward. If you want special prayer, for anything.